This is a song that touched my heart. It's always been a part of me, and I'm sure it's a part of many of you. And I hope you will enjoy it as much as I do. And I believe you will. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of one's loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Chorus again, let's all join together. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And we rejoice in that love that he has indeed given to us. And we are so glad to return it indeed unto him. Praise God. Let's turn this morning to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the hand, or the Lord rather, upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. I want to speak this morning on God's decisions. You'll find it in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We know that God makes decisions for the world, the entire universe, but today we especially want to enlarge on God's decisions in our behalf individually. As we read here that our steps are ordered of the Lord, that word ordered means to be directed, means appointed. This is really the same truth that we see multiple times in the scripture as expressed by the word judgment. So many people think of judgment as being the wrath of God poured out, and that certainly is one application, but there are a number of expressions and meanings of the word judgment. Psalm 9:7 says this, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment." That word judgment means verdict, either for or against. It means discretion. It means determination. Another word for judgment is to sail a straight course. And that indicates God's purpose and direction for us. And so our lives are ordered, or God indeed expresses his judgment in regard to our own personal lives. The first thing I want to see is God's credentials or God's qualifications for making such decisions in our lives. We see the history of the Lord doing that, but we notice from Hebrews 13:8, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And again, James describes God as the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. And then Malachi 3:6 says this, "I am the Lord, I change not." And so God simply does not change. He is the same always. He is consistent. Again in Psalm 9:7, "The Lord shall endure forever." And you will notice he has prepared his throne for judgment. That means that God can and he will make all of these decisions in our lives and throughout our entire experience. God does not change, but we're going to see that his decisions certainly bring about changes in our own lives. Here in verse 23, we read that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it is important to understand that we are talking about the steps of a good man. That does not apply, that promise, that verse does not apply to everyone in the world, because everyone is not classified as good. Scripture tells us there is none good, no, not one. And so we find that God will make the decisions and he will order the path of the good man. We have considered and we have brought out many times over the years that every Christian is possessed of two eyes. There is the eye which is the old, rebellious, selfish, old creation, Adamic nature with which all of us are born. But then there is the new eye. That is the new creation in Christ Jesus, the new man that was raised up in newness of life with him. This is the good man that the psalmist is talking about here. This is the good man that we want to be in order that God will make his decisions in our behalf, and indeed they will be profitable decisions. God can do nothing to improve or order the steps of the flesh. Ecclesiastes 7:13 says this, "Consider the work of God. Who can make that straight which he hath made crooked?" Not even God can bring any straightness or goodness out of the old Adamic nature. He didn't even try. Job 14:4 expresses the same truth when he says this, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." God could not salvage anything of the old man. That's why he took it down into death with Christ, and he raised us up in newness of life with him. This again is the good man that God is talking about. And so we read here in our text the steps of a good man. We could say the steps of the new creation man, the steps of the man in Christ. This is the one that are his steps are ordered by the Lord. And I want to notice some results of God doing that. We can have as many of them as we like. It is up to us whether we surrender our steps to him, whether we actually accept the steps that he has ordained and ordered for us. You will notice the first, he delights in his way. And we must come to that place where we delight in the way that the Lord has chosen for us. The path that we take is not a mistake, not an accident. The step that we take is ordered of the Lord. Notice further, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. That's because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The Lord upholds him with his hand. It gives God the chance to work in our life and to do that which he indeed wants to do. David says, I've been young, now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Again, the testimony of a good man. David was a good man. He experienced these things firsthand in his own life. Verse 26, he is ever merciful. That's true of God, but that's true of the good man. He is the one who has adopted this wonderful life of Christ and his compassion, and he is ever merciful. And he lendeth. He is able to give unto other people and to be a benefit unto them. His seed is blessed, and indeed the seed of the good man is blessed. The seed of the good man depart from evil, do good, dwell forevermore. Evermore, I guess, eternal life. These are some of the rewards and the blessings of the good man whose steps are indeed ordered of the Lord. There are a great many examples we could choose from the scripture to show how that God carried out these steps in a good and a righteous man. We think of Abraham, and God ordered his steps out of idolatry, out of Ur of the Chaldees. God ordered his steps in giving him the promises of the Abrahamic covenant. God ordered his steps as he told him to offer his son Isaac there on the altar, Mount Moriah. Abraham did that, and scripture says that his faith was such that he actually received his son up from the dead again. He ordered his steps as he walked up and down in the land of promise. God says you can't claim any, you don't own any, but you can claim it. You can possess it for your seed, and that's exactly what he did. Then I thought of Daniel. God ordered his steps into captivity in Babylon. God ordered his steps, making him a eunuch while he was in Babylon. He ordered his steps as he surrendered to the lion's den, and God indeed delivered him and blessed him. He ordered his steps when he gave him all of those wonderful visions and revelations of truth, many of them that are coming to pass in this very day. God ordered the steps of this good man, Daniel. Today I want to consider the steps of another very prominent man in Scripture, a man by the name of Joseph. And let us go to the 50th chapter of Genesis. This is a wonderful testimony that Joseph gave. We have seen it. We have been blessed by it so many times over the course of our lives. Let's begin with verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, Joseph will perhaps hate us, and he'll certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of my father. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Jacob had given his son some very wise counsel. By this time he had found out that Joseph was not dead. He had not been killed as he had been told. He had found out what his sons had done unto Joseph. And it was Joseph who instructed these young men, You need to go to Joseph and ask his forgiveness. He was a very wise man in that matter, because if men are burdened by guilt, they will never enjoy the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. It's simply impossible to do. And so this man instructed his son to go to Joseph and ask forgiveness, which they did. And then this good man, whom we see as Joseph, was not a vindictive man. God was still ordering his steps. He was still listening to him. And so it is Joseph that made this statement in verse 20. As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And the question that I would ask today, when did Joseph come to that conclusion? We will find that God ordered many steps for Joseph. And so when did he decide, you meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good? Joseph is probably the most perfect type of Christ embodied in one man in the scripture. Three words describe Joseph's life, just as they describe Christ's life. He is a son, he's a sufferer, and he was a sovereign. All of these things. And so I want to notice a few of the steps that were ordered of the Lord for Joseph. The first thing we see about him as you read through his entire story is that Joseph really didn't respond after the steps that he was forced into, so to speak, after the steps that God had chosen for him. We don't read that he had any kind of a response. In that, he is very much typical of Christ. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. But we can only wonder, how did he feel? What thoughts did he have with some of these experiences that we are going to see this morning, that if the scripture is true, and indeed it is, these steps that Joseph took were ordered of the Lord. The same thing is true in our lives. We don't know what steps God is going to order for us, but I guarantee you, we must indeed have the right response to them. And so we find here that Joseph had that right response. I personally believe that he claimed verse 20 here in our text, from the very beginning, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so we consider the steps into which God led Joseph. He's only 17 years old when we're introduced to him. And we find immediately that God had given him. He had ordered his steps. And he had given these marvelous dreams, which are yet to be fulfilled in their entirety concerning Christ. But they apply to Joseph. And I'm sure he got hold of those. I'm sure he remembered them. Regardless of the plight that he was in, the dreams had to have come back.
What a revelation and what an encouragement to us in times of darkness, in times of tremendous testing. Remember the promises that God has given already. He will be faithful to them. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. We can depend on Him. And so it was that he had these wonderful dreams, and he was then hated by his brethren. There is not a person that doesn't know what rejection is. But beloved, we must handle rejection with grace and faith and believing God that he is greater than any rejection we might experience. Then we find that he was put into a pit. There was no water in it. There was no death there. But you just have to wonder what was going through the mind of Joseph when he was in the pit. How is God going to fulfill his promises? Did the enemy tempt him with death, as I'm sure he did, because we know what he does today? But here again, I am confident Joseph looked beyond and knew that God was going to work good even in this. He was pulled up out of the pit. He was sold into the hand of the Ishmaelites. He was sold as a slave. He was sent down to Egypt. And you wonder perhaps there if he thought, well, God meant it for good. Because when he got to Egypt, a man by the name of a very wealthy man, by the name of Potiphar, bought him. And he put Joseph in charge of all of his substance. Joseph was the overseer of everything that he had. And I'm sure that Joseph thought, well, perhaps this is where really a good time that God is thinking good and God making good for me. We find that God prospered Potiphar because of Joseph. But then came the day when Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. She accused Joseph of what she had actually done in trying to get him to commit adultery and fornication. Once again, we have no record of any defense on the part of Joseph. And sometimes we must come to that same conclusion, that our steps are simply ordered of the Lord, and we must leave it to Him. Did he at this time think, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good? Then Joseph was bound along with the prisoners of Pharaoh, sent to prison for something that he refused to do, but he was falsely accused of. One statement in the midst of all that says this: the Lord was with him in the prison. I'm confident that Joseph knew that. We can feel the presence of the Lord even in very dire circumstances. And I'm confident that Joseph understood and he knew that. Not only that, but it didn't take the prison guard long to see what gifts that Joseph had. And now then, he's not the overseer of goods. He's the overseer of men. And whatever they did in that prison, he was the doer of it. And things went well there. He had an authority even in prison. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And then came the day when God showed him that he still had the gift of interpreting dreams. The butler, the baker came to him, each with his own dream. Joseph interpreted them. They came to pass exactly as he said. The butler was restored to his butlership while the baker was hanged. But Joseph said to the butler, when you get out of here, remember me. Think kindly, speak kindly concerning me. And I don't know how in the name of heaven that the butler could forget, but he did for 2 years. Pharaoh had a dream. No one interpreted, didn't know what it meant. It made an impression, impact on him. And the butler, "Oh, I do remember my faults this day, after 2 full years. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, even the timing of them." Exactly what God was doing in the life of Joseph during those years, we simply do not know. As I thought on this, we are introduced to Joseph when he was 17 years old. Another verse says he stood before Pharaoh as the overseer or the prime minister of Egypt when he was 30. All of this has transpired since the time this young man was 17 years old at 30. That's a good part of your life, a young life. And yet, Scripture tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and it is surely fulfilled in Joseph's life. Joseph interpreted those dreams of Pharaoh. It was then that he was brought out of prison, and again he was made ruler over Egypt, next unto Pharaoh. And so I am confident that Joseph claimed these wonderful verses here, this truth here in verse 20. "You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." I think he claimed that from the very first, and God indeed blessed him. Being human, the way that we know Joseph was, we wonder if he certainly must have had his times of being down, so to speak. But it is not recorded. Any weakness, any complaint is not recorded. And I thought of the marvels of the grace of God in our own lives, that we may make some mistakes. We may have some lapses. But God doesn't record them, and he certainly doesn't publicize them. He remembered this man of faith. And this is what is recorded of Joseph, such a man of tremendous faith, because he certainly did surrender to the steps that God ordered for him. We have used a verse over the past few weeks, been repeated a number of times, and it fits so beautifully here. Philippians 2:13 says it this way: "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." That is the same equivalent. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. We can accept those steps or we can reject them. The Apostle Paul tells us, "It is God which works in you." This is what God is doing in our lives, working in us, arranging those steps in order to mold and to fashion our lives like unto what he wants to produce, according to his good pleasure. I want to close with 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. 2 Corinthians 3, once again, a very familiar portion of Scripture, but it beautifully brings out the changes that God would effect in our lives as we take these steps, accept the steps of a good man that God has ordered. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Paul says, "But we all," and the context of this is where he is contrasting looking at Christ through the prism of the law, are looking full face into Christ without the law. And that's what he means, we all with open face. We do not have the law, the veil of the law to look through in order to see Christ the way that many of that day were trying to do. "We are with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That, of course, is what they would have seen, Israel would have seen in Moses' face, had they not forced him to put a veil over it because they were terrified. We are with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Notice this. We are changed into the same image. This is what I want to see in our lives today. With every step that God orders, He is going to change us. He's going to change something in me. Something that He deems necessary in my own life and experience. Just as it was in the case of Joseph. And things worked out well for Joseph by following that path. They're changed into the same image. You will notice it is from glory to glory. One of the saddest things that a Christian can do is become satisfied with his experience, with the glory he has right now. We must be those who are willing to let God ordain our steps to take us even to a higher glory than what we are enjoying at the present time. And so we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And then you will notice it, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Only God is able to accomplish this. Only God is faithful in order to accomplish that, in order to produce the results of which we speak here. And so, as Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We must take that place of being that good man that God would order his steps very intricately, very specifically, very purposefully. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. And then our attitude. He delights in his way. And we must come to that place where we delight in the path, in the way that God has chosen for us. And one day, we too will reign exactly the way Joseph did.